When you got saved, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you placed your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that God set a race before us. When you got saved, God put you in a place in life where you are to run this race. You say, what's that race? It's our Christian life. The Christian life is pictured here in the sense of a race. In the sense of a race that we're running. And he says that race that is set before us. All of us have a race set before us. But I want you to notice that it's our choice whether or not to run that race. Look at verse 1 again. It says, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Look what he says. And let us run with patience. Now he says, and let us run. See, it's your choice. The Apostle Paul, I believe, wrote the book of Hebrews, and he's trying to encourage these people. He's like, look, let us run. Well, run what? And then he says, the race that is set before us. And he's telling these Christians, he said, look, you ought to run. And when someone tells you you ought to run, you say, well, run what? And he tells them, well, look, there's a race that is set before you. And it's your choice whether or not to run that race. And he says, let us run. He says, run the race. And the sermon this morning is this. Running the race that is set before you. Now, I want to teach you a few things about this race. And number one is this. We should run the race. You get a choice whether or not you want to run the race that is set before you. But I would submit to you this morning, you should run that race. You should decide, I'm going to run the race and let us run the race that is set before us. And you say, well, why should we run the race? Number one, because of those who are watching. Because of those who are watching primarily in heaven. We also, look what he says, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What is he saying? This is what he's saying. He's saying you and I are compassed about. He said we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. He says there are people who are watching your life and my life. You say, who are these people? The people we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. You understand that? You understand that there's people in heaven right now who were stoned? Who were murdered, who were asunder, who were persecuted, who gave up all they had, and they're in heaven right now, and they're watching. They are the ones in the stands watching you run your race. And Paul says, let us run the race that is set before us. Why? Because in heaven, there are people watching us, and those people aren't just mediocre Christians. Those people are people like Moses and David and Paul and believers all throughout history. And these people who were soulless, who were tortured, stoned, sawn asunder, these people are watching you and I complain. Watching you and I say, I can't do it. I can't go soul winning. I'm too tired. I'm too hungry. I'm too whatever. I can't make it to church. I can't, you know. They watch us complain. Life is too hard. And they're thinking to themselves, life is too hard? Try being cut asunder. Try being stoned to death. Try being beaten. Try being cast into the lion's den. And Paul says, hey, cloud of witnesses. He says, that's why you should run. You understand what I'm saying? You say, why should I run the race? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let me tell you something. You know that you have the freedom to run a race that is set before you? And so many of us are so lazy and so selfish and so filled with our own lives, we barely make it to church on Sunday morning and we think we've done a great work for God. You're going to get to heaven and be ashamed. The Bible tells us, to whom much is given, much shall be required. You live in the freest country this world has ever known. You've got all the rights and the liberties to read the Bible, pray, memorize, preach the gospel, get people saved, live for God, and yet we are the laziest generation that Christianity has ever known because we sit and complain and we say, I wish I had this, and I wish I had that, I wish I could go here, I wish I didn't have to deal with this struggle, my cross is too hard. There's a race that is set before you, but it's your choice. He said, and Paul says this, let's run that race. He says, run. What's stopping you? He says, number one, because people are watching. People in heaven. He says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. So, okay, I'd like to run the race, but how do I run? How do I run? You're there in 1 Corinthians, right? Okay, verse 24. So how do you run? Number one, run to win. Run to win. Paul said, if I'm going to run the race, I'm going to run to win. He said, athletes run to get a gold crown that is going to be corrupted. They run to get a medal that's corrupted. He said, we're running for an incorruptible. You know what he's saying? He's saying there is a reward in heaven. There is a reward that you get in heaven. And he said, you can get that if you run and you win the race. He said, Paul said, I'm going to run, not only because people are watching, but because I want to win and I want to get rewarded in heaven for what I win. Revelation chapter number 22. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says. And behold, this is the Lord speaking. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Do you see that? Let me read that again. He says, and behold, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And behold, I come quickly. Look what he says. And my reward is with me. The Bible says when Jesus Christ comes back, he's coming to reward us. You say, how do I get that reward? Look what he says. And my reward is with me. Look what he says. To give every man according as his, what's the next word? Work shall be. Matthew chapter number 5, look at verse number 19. Sometimes we have this idea that in heaven, we're all going to get to heaven and we're just going to all be equal. It's this utopian setting. That's not, look, you know what type of government there is in heaven? Capitalism. Let me show you that. Matthew 5:19, look what it says. Matthew 5:19, look what the Bible says. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. He says, see, this is how Christians live their lives today. Well, I know that this is a sin, but that's just the least commandment. I'll just go ahead and do that anyway. I'll just do it and I'll get right with God later. Look what he says. Whosoever shall break one of the least commandments, look what it says, and shall teach men so. Look what the Bible says. Don't miss this. He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Do you see that? The Bible says that there are people who will be in heaven and they're going to be called the least. Look what it says. But whosoever shall do and teach them. Teach what? The commandments. Do what? The commandments. The same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you something. I don't want to get to heaven and be called the least. Oh, you were the least. I want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, Pastor, how do I get called great in the kingdom of heaven? Here's how you do it. You do and you teach the commandment. How do I get called the least in the kingdom of heaven? You don't do. And you don't teach. And you do nothing. You say, well, can I still be saved if I do nothing? Amen and amen. I believe that. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace and by faith in Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. You're going to get to heaven one day, and you're going to be called the least, and you're going to be, people are going to look at you and say, you didn't do anything. Man, you had every opportunity, and you sat there and did nothing with your life. If I'm going to run, I want to win. And God, and Paul said, run that you may obtain. He said, get that incorruptible crown. He said, with them according to your works. Hey, I don't want to be the least. I want to be great. I want to do great things. I want to get to heaven and God says, you know, and you say, come, you know, and be happy. And said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of God. That's what I want. Is that what you want? You want to be the least in the kingdom of heaven? Paul said, run. Run to win. He said, run to obtain the crown. Say, Pastor, how do we run the race? Number one, you run to win. Number two, under that point, you run with patience. You run with patience. Let me tell you something. The Christian life, I've heard this quote my entire life, and I think it's a good quote. The Christian life is not a sprint, it is a marathon. You say, how do we run the race that is set before us? You run it with patience. You run it to endure. It's an endurance run. It's not, I got in front of everybody, I win. No. It's an endurance run. You run with patience. Look, you don't serve God for 6 months and say, I'm done. You serve God your entire life. You run the entire life. You finish your life saying, I have run the race that is set before me. It's a run of patience. I said, number one, you ought to run the race because of those who are watching in heaven, because of those who are watching on earth. Number two, how do you run? You run to win. You run with patience. But number three, I'd like to explain to you why we quit. why so many Christians don't even run. Or they start to run and then they quit. They give up. You're there in Hebrews 12, look at verse 1 again. I'd like you to see number 1, under why we quit, what stops us? What stops us? Look what it says. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Look what he says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You want to know why we quit running for God? Why we quit the race? Here, one word. Sin. Because of sin in our lives. Paul said, when you're trying to live, you're trying to live for God and you're trying to run the race and you've got sin in your life, he says, look, if you're going to run and you're going to succeed and you're going to win, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That word beset means it's attacking you. And that sin is stopping you. And he says, the reason you don't run is because of sin in your life. Let me tell you something, get the sin out of your life. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fact that you're not spiritual. Maybe it's the fact that you watch the television. Maybe it's the fact that you listen to the world's music. Maybe it's the fact that you curse and swear. Maybe it's the fact that you skip church. You don't read your Bible. I don't know what it is. But whatever sin is in your life, it's slowing you down. You say, I can't run like this. Get rid of the weight. Get rid of the pack. Get rid of the sin in your life. And I promise you, you'll be able to run better. He says, how do you run? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So that's how you're going to run. See, I'm struggling with a certain sin. Lay it aside. I think it's interesting. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Look what he says. And the sin. He doesn't say, and the sins, plural. He says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. Study the people of God in the Bible. You know those men who lived righteously, did wonderful works, but they had a sin that beset them. They had a sin that they were struggling with. They had a sin that they couldn't get victory over. They had a sin. Let me tell you something. I don't know what your sin is. I don't know what my sin is. I won't ask you what your sin is if you don't ask me what my sin is. But let me tell you something. We've all got a sin that is always we're struggling with. It's always tempting us. It's always besetting us. It's always attacking us. It's always trying to push us out of the race. It's always trying to kill us out of the run. And let me tell you something. If you're going to run the race, you're going to run it by laying aside the sin. You got to get rid of that sin. You got to identify that sin and fight it and get rid of it, lay it aside. Because you're trying to run with a big weight on your back. Say, I can't run. Yeah, because of the sin in your life. That's why we quit. I said, number one, what stops you? Sin in your life. But number two, not just what stops you, but who stops you. Galatians 5:7, look what the Bible says. Galatians 5:7. Notice how there's a constant theme throughout the scriptures. Look what he says. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Galatia. Look what he says. He says, ye did run well. Notice that. He says, man, you were running and you're running well. But then notice what he says. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? So why do we quit, Pastor? Number one, what stops us? The sin that does so easily beset us. But number two, who stops us? You know what our problem is as Christians? We let people stop us from running the race. We get upset at people. So-and-so ruined my life. So-and-so did this to me. And so-and-so did that to me. Let me tell you something. If you stop running, it's because you allowed it. You know what he said? He didn't say. He said, ye did run well. He said, who did hinder you? He said, who's stopping you? Who are you using as an excuse to say, I can't run anymore. I can't run because of my wife. I can't run because of my husband. I can't run because of my kids. Look, you can run. But who are you allowing to stop you? He says, who's stopping you? He did run well. Who did hinder you? The word hinder there means to delay. It means to interrupt. It means to prevent. Sometimes in our lives, we've got to realize who are the people who are often trying to interrupt our run, who are often trying to delay our run, who are often trying to stop our run and identify that person, and we got to just separate. See, we got this idea, you know, I don't want to be the least in the kingdom of heaven, yes, but you know who's the only person that's going to cause you to be the greatest or the least? You know who you're running against? Yourself. You say, who am I running against? Your flesh. It's a race. You know how you win a race? You get there first. But I'm not trying to get there before you, and you don't need to try to get there before me. Verity Baptist Church is not running a race against the church down the street or the church across town. We're running against ourselves. The spiritual man versus the carnal man. The spirit-filled man versus the flesh man. And the only person that's going to stop you and hinder you is yourself. Let me tell you something. The is the same as the secret to running a physical race. It's self-control. It's deciding, I'm gonna go soul winning, even when it's cold outside, even when it's raining outside, even when I don't want to, even when I'm embarrassed or stuttering. Or, it's saying, I'm gonna get up and read my Bible, even when I don't want to. It's saying, I'm gonna get up and pray and be in church and be a soul winner and live for God and do right, even when the flesh is weak. Number five, finish the race. Finish the race. You know, we all have a cross to carry. You know why so many of us complain about the cross in our lives? Look, we all have a different cross. But you know, sometimes you just gotta decide, you just gotta realize, this is the lot God has for my life. This is the cross that He has given me. This is my life. This is my race. This is my course. And it might be different than theirs. It may be different than yours. But the way I'm gonna run it is this: deny my flesh. And say, you know what, I'm gonna be temperate. I'm gonna be self-disciplined. Yeah, maybe I will have to get up at 5:30 in the morning, but you know, a few hours before I go to work just to be able to study for a sermon. Or maybe I do have to go soul winning when everybody else is at home with their family. Maybe I do have to stay up late, and maybe my family can't spend as much time with me, or my wife as much time with me. But hey, that's the cross He's given me. And God's given you a cross. God's given you a fight. God's given you, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your finance, maybe it's whatever, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your relationship, but there is a cross to carry, and the only way you'll carry that cross is to say, you deny your flesh, you're temperate in all things, you run your race, the race that is set before you. I don't want to be the guy that Paul says, man, you know, I don't want to get to heaven and have the Apostle Paul say, hey, Lise, come over here. Yes, sir? Man, you did run well. Who did hit you? That's not who I want to be. I don't want to have Jesus Christ say to me, man, you did run well. What happened? Man, you really got on that soul winning for 3 weeks. Man, you got on that Bible reading. Man, you read up to Genesis 5. What happened? Hey, you did run well. Look at Galatians chapter number 2. We're almost done. Galatians chapter number 2. You know that I've got to say we're almost done at least 6 times before we're actually almost done. I think that was the first time. Galatians chapter number 2. You're slowing me down. Look what it says. Galatians chapter number 2. Look at verse 2. Galatians chapter number 2. Look at verse 2. Galatians 2:2. Look what the Bible says. And I went up my revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. Look what he says. Lest by any means I should run. Look what he says. Lest by any means I should run, or had run, past tense. Look what he says. In vain. You see that? Galatians, go with me. Past the book of Ephesians to Philippians chapter number 2. Look at verse 16. Philippians chapter number 2. Look at verse 16. Philippians chapter number 2. Look at verse 16. Look what it says. Philippians 2:16. The Bible says, holding forth the words of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run, look what it says, in vain, neither labored in vain. In Galatians 2:2 and in Philippians 2:16, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God tells us that there are those who will run in vain. You say, what does that word vain mean? That word vain there means ineffectual. It means without significance. It means worthless. The Bible says you can run your race and have it be in vain. Have it be worthless. You say, what are you talking about? You know, you can run and run and run and run. One sin, one choice, one mistake, one whatever you want to call it, one wrong action could cause you to have run in vain. Let me tell you something. You got to be very careful how you live your life. Because you can be running that race, running that race, running that race, running that race, and run in vain. Let me tell you something. Mom and Dad, you raise those kids and you can have Bible time. You can bring him to church all you want. You can talk about God all you want. You can do whatever you want. And one sin, one wrong word, one wrong action, one thing you do in your life, and your kids will say, I knew that was never real. I knew that was never true. I knew that didn't mean it. I knew Mom didn't mean it. And you say, but I did all this wonderful thing. Yeah, but you ran in vain. It was worthless. Let me tell you, kids. You say, man, you know, teenage girls, man, I was always so pure. I never let a guy touch me. I never ran. Just this one time. And you're pregnant. You say, well, that's not fair. That's how it goes, my friend. Don't run in vain. Don't throw it away. I remember when we would be running. running around, and sometimes there were some guys who were so out of shape. I don't know if you've ever, you know, like worked out a lot, and then you went like months without working out, and then you tried to get back into it. One of the main things that happens to people is that they throw up. I don't know why it is, it's just how it works. You know, if you haven't ran all year, you start trying to run, you'll throw up oftentimes. There'd be guys, and they would tell them, like, if you gotta throw up, get right on the edge of that track and throw up, but don't get off the track. Or else it's all in vain. Don't run your race in vain. 2 Timothy 4:7. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, famous words. Look at verse 6. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He says, look, I'm getting ready to die. He says, I have fought a good fight. And he said, not only that, I finished my course. He said, I have kept the faith. But I love those words. He said, I finished my course. He said, when I got saved, God placed a race in front of me, and I chose to run that race. And he said, sometimes I was running, sometimes I was walking, sometimes I was stumbling. He said, your spiritual run, you may be on the side, and you're so spiritually unhealthy, you're on your side, and you're throwing up. See, I can't do it. Walk if you gotta walk, crawl if you gotta crawl, but make it to that finish line. Don't quit. Don't say, don't get off the track. Because as soon as your foot steps over that track, it's in vain. You're done. Say, when am I done? When you choose me. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. And he said, I finished my course. He said, I may have not done it as fast as so-and-so, and I may have done it as well as so-and-so, but I got to my finish line. He said, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Look what he says, verse 8. Notice how consistent the Bible is. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But notice, say, well, the Paul won now, so now none of us can win. Note what he says. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his spirit. You know the race that we're running? You can win it, and I can win it, we can all win it. Because we're not running against each other. We're running against ourselves. He says, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But he says, not for me only. You can have it. You can have it. You can have it. My kids can have it. My grandkids can have it. We can all have it. But you gotta run. You gotta run. And you gotta run and not quit. And you gotta get the sin out of your life. And you gotta stop letting people hinder you. Stop letting people, you know, bother you. Stop letting people be such a drag on your life. You know, you just gotta say, I'm gonna do this. I'm running for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm gonna get to the end of my course. I'm gonna get to that finish line. And like the Apostle Paul, I would love on my deathbed to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Maybe I didn't run it very fast, and maybe I didn't run it very consistently, and maybe there was times where I had to stop and throw up a little bit, and stop and drag a little bit, and stop and walk a little bit. Maybe there were times where I just made it on my hands and knees, but I got to the end. That's your life, my friend. That's your life. Finish the course that is set before you. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I just ask that you would allow all of us to be able to get to the end of our lives and say, I see the finish line. I see it coming. I'm just going to make it to the end. Lord, unfortunately, there's so many of us who aren't even trying. And the sad thing is we don't even care. That verse in the bulletin this morning, our life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's so sad that we'd be so caught up with the few years we live on earth. We're so busy in our minds to serve God. And we're going to spend eternity with no rewards, being the least in the kingdom of heaven. Father, you know I love these people. You know I love the church you've given us. But I pray you would, your Holy Spirit would encourage us to get motivated. Say, man, I'm going to run that race. I'm going to get in that fight. I'm going to finish my course. I'm not just going to be one of these lazy Christians who doesn't do anything. But I want to run the race that is set before us so that I can get to heaven and I can have war stories too. I can get to heaven and I can say, hey, let me tell you about the cross that I had to carry. Father, I pray your word would do a work in our midst. In your precious name I pray. Amen.